محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Our topic today is optimism. Buna al-yom al-tafa'ul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an optimistic person, and it's part of his good character to be optimistic. Before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent as a messenger, the ancient Arabians, they used to take bad omens. So they would go out before they would travel, and they would look around, and if they would see a bird that fit a particular description, they would say something good is going to happen or something bad is going to happen. They used to call this tasha'um. They used to call it qiyara. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that there's no such thing as qiyara. There's no such thing as taking bad omens. He forbade us from taking bad omens, to go outside and see something and take it as a sign that disaster is going to befall us. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to love to take good omens. He used to say sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he loves to hear good words. He used to say that when he went out and he heard somebody saying, Ya Rashid, Ya Najih. He heard somebody saying, Oh, you who are rightly guided. Rashid means rightly guided. So many of us, we have nice names. So Rashid is a nice name. It means somebody who is rightly guided. Amina is a beautiful name. It means somebody who is at safety, security. Saeed is a beautiful name. It means happiness. So if we're going around, we feel that maybe we have some bad feelings, something bad is going to happen, we're going through difficult circumstances, and we hear somebody who has a good name, and you say, Assalamu alaikum, and wa alaikum salam, what's your name? And the person says, my name is Saeed. Then you say that you take from that a good sign that think that you will be happy, or from the name Amina that you will be safe, or from the name the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned najih means somebody who's successful. It means that you will be successful. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was an application of another hadith that he told us about. It's a hadith Qudsi. He mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أنا عند ظني عبدي بي. I am as my servant believes me to be. The word ظن here means certainty. I am as my servant has certainty in me. So if one believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring something good out of the situation that one is in, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith that he will realize that good belief, and the opposite as well. So the good or bad, when it comes to us, our belief that something good is going to happen, it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we have that belief, relying on the mercy and good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his generosity, then good things actually come about. Commentators on this hadith, they mention a snippet from the Hikam of Ibn Ata'illah. يذكرون الذين يشرحون هذا الحديث أنا عند ظني عبدي بي من شيء من كلام سيدي بن عطائله يقول يعني يذكرون الحكمة إن لم تحسن ظنك به لأجل حسن وصفه حسن ظنك به لأجل معاملته معك فهل عودك إلا حسنا وهل أستى إليك إلا مننا ثم يعني يوجد مقطع من أو وصلة من ابن عباد، سأقرأه وأترجمه، ثم إذا كان لديكم شيء إن شاء الله لن تعلقون. I'm going to, there's a hikmah of Sidi Ibn Ata'illah. He said that if you don't have a good opinion of him because of his what his beautiful characteristics, his beautiful, literally you could say his character. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. So when we reflect on who he is and the characteristics that he has, it leads us to have a good opinion of him. Just as you see somebody who's a cheerful person, who's a kind person, and so when you're in difficulty, you think of that person, you believe that that person is going to treat you well, is going to be there for you, is going to support you. Similarly, when we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, then this leads us to have a good opinion of him when we're going through difficulties. So Sidi Ibn Ata'illah said that if you can't do that, if that's difficult, in other words, that's where one should start. But if that's difficult, then have a good opinion of him because of the good things that he has sent you. Because and if you reflect on your past, then has he habituated to you to anything except good, and has he sent to you anything except gifts? So if we think back when the times when we've been sick and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cured us, the times when we were in some kind of difficulty and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took us out of that difficulty, the times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with food, with drink, with sustenance, the times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us help in unexpected help in times of need. And we reflect on all of these things, we find that time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been there for us. And so when we reflect on these things, it leads us to have a good opinion of him. So one of the commentators on the Hikam of Ibn Ata'illah, his name is Ibn Abbad, he says that حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ يُطْلَبُ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ فِي أَمْرِ دُنْيَاهِ وَفِي أَمْرِ آخِرَتِهِ. He said that the servant is sought from him to have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe, to have certainty that Allah will do something good for him in affairs that are related to the next world and affairs that are related to this world. He says, "Amma amru dunya," as for the affair of this world, فَإِنْ يَكُونَ وَاثِقًا بِاللَّهِ فِي إِصَالِ الْمَنَافِعِ وَالْمَرَافِقِ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ كَدٍّ وَلَا سَعْيٍ أَوْ بِسَعْيٍ خَفِيفٍ مَأْذُونٍ فِيهِ وَمَأْجُورٍ عَلَيْهِ. He says that as for having a good opinion in the affairs of this world, it means that the servant should have complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will send him benefits, beneficial things, and things that will make him happy without him having to toil and struggle and do something difficult. Or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send it by the servants just doing a little bit, and from it comes a great unexpected good. And when one does that, not only will the good come, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward one for it. He says, وَبِحَيْثُ لَا يَفُوتُهُ ذَلِكَ بحيث لا يفوته ذلك شيئا من فرض ولا نفل يعني مأجور عليه بحيث لا يفوته فيوجب له ذلك سكونا وراحة في قلبه وبدنه فلا يستفزه طلب ولا يزعجه سبب. He says that gives him, so the effect of being optimistic, of believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send one good, is that it leads one to have peace and tranquility and be calm and in one's heart and in one's body. And so if somebody comes and demands something from us, or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands something from us, or if a difficulty comes, it doesn't irritate us because we're calm and we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring about something good from this, and we have conviction in that. So having optimism is a means to having good character. He says, wa amma amru akhiratihi, and as for the affair of the next life, فَأَنْ يَكُونَ قَوِيَّ الرَّجَاءِ فِي قَبُولِ أَعْمَالِهِ الصَّالِحَةِ وَتَوْفِيَةِ أُجُورِهِ عَلَيْهَا فِي دَارِ الثَّوَابِ وَالْجَزَاءِ فَيُوجِبُ لَهُ ذَلِكَ الْمُبَادَرَةَ لِامْتِثَالِ الْأَمْرِ وَالتَّكْثِيرِ مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الْبِرِّ بِوِجْدَانِ حَلَاوَةٍ وَاغْتِبَاطٍ وَلَذَّةٍ وَنَشَاطٍ. He says that as for the having a good opinion, having certainty that Allah subhanahu, being optimistic about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to the next life, it's by having a strong hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that the good deeds that one does will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that the good deeds that one does, one will be rewarded for them on the day of judgment, on the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us. And this leads us to feel happy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eager to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It leads us to rush to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we believe that He'll accept our works, we believe that He'll reward us for them, and so we rush to do things. Finally, he says, وَمِنْ مَوَاطِنِ حُسْنِ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى الَّتِي لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ يُفَارِقَهُ فِيهَا أَوْقَاتُ الشَّدَائِدِ وَالْمِحَنِ. He says that from the times when of having a believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about something good and something that one should never abandon is having a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in difficulties, in difficult times and times of trial. وَحُلُولِ الْمَصَائِبِ فِي الْأَهْلِ وَالْمَالِ وَالْبَدَنِ. And when difficulties befall one in one's family or one's wealth or one's body. And he says that it's important to have a good opinion, لِأَلَّا يَقَعَ بِسَبَبِ عَدَمِ ذَلِكَ فِي الْجَزَعِ وَالسَّخَطِ, and so that one doesn't fall as a result of that difficulty into worry and into bitterness. One doesn't worry when the difficulty comes, and one doesn't become bitter. Both of those things, they lead to bad character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout his mission, he was optimistic. During the Hijrah, when he was with Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and the Mushrikun were over his head in the cave, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr was fearful, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." Don't grieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. What do you think of two people when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their third? When Suraqa ibn Malik came and he came on his horse, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr were vulnerable, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was optimistic and he made dua, and the feet of the horse, they went into the ground. When somebody would be sick, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray over him, and then he would say tahur, tahuran insha'Allah. He said this is a purification. So the difficulty that we experience when we are sick, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at it in a different light, in an optimistic light, that this difficulty that Allah sent us was something that was good for us, and it led us to it was a means for erasing sins. It wasn't, the point of it was not to cause us misery, but the point of it was to erase our sins. That's the meaning of it being pure. And so that's the overview of the khuluq of optimism.
ما شاء الله لم تترك شيئا إلا ما شاء الله وكأن هذا الخلق. ولن بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على حبيبنا وسيدنا وقرة أعيننا سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا الخلق كأنه الدين كله.
This character, it's as though it's the entirety of the religion. our entire religion is optimism.
وهو من أوصافه صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم هذا التفاؤل. فنقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما يمتزج وصفنا بوصفه صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى ننال هذا الانصباغ الذي صبغته صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا التفاؤل في سيرته المباركة الشريفة.
And so he said, "It's one should remember Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and say, 'La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,' and then one sends blessings and peace on him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then one asks Allah Subhanahu wa Taala through that blessings and peace to one brings to mind his optimism, and one asks Allah that through this blessings and peace he makes the character trait of the Prophet." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mixed with our own character trait, so that we become like him.
ونحن أحوج ما نكون كأفراد وجماعات وأمة في هذا الوقت على التخلق بهذا الخلق لما يعترينا أفرادا وجماعات وأمة من ضعف وهوان وقلة وذلة وإلى ما هنالك. فلا يوجد إلا التفاؤل والأمل بالله أن يغير حالنا إلى غير هذا الحال.
We're more in need today of this character trait than at any other time because of the weakness and difficulties and calamities that befall us as individuals and as communities and as the entire ummah, and the only hope we have is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're optimistic and we place our hopes in him and that he will change our state for the better.
قالوا سيدي في التفاؤل يعني بعض التعريفات ما تفضلتم به كاف يعني لي في البيان ولكن مما قالوا رضي الله عنهم التفاؤل عبارة عن التيمن وحسن الظن بالله وهو الاستبشار بالقول أو الفعل.
التفاؤل is to to believe that take a good omen, take a good omen and to have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be happy when one does things or when one says things.
ويعني الأمل والتوقع للأفضل دائما. التفاؤل يعني الأمل والتوقع للأفضل دائما.
So it means that you're always, you always have hope and you always believe, you always expect that things will improve.
وضد التفاؤل التشاؤم. أصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة. وضد التفاؤل التشاؤم وهو اليأس وسوء الظن بالله. نعوذ بالله.
The opposite of optimism is pessimism, and that means to despair and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send something bad to one.
فالمتفائل ينحو نحو النجاح والمتشائم ينحو نحو الفشل والعجز.
The one who is optimistic, he's moving towards success. And the one who is pessimistic is moving towards failure and incapacity, inability to do things.
وقد استعاذ رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من العجز اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل، ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would seek refuge from being unable to do something. So things are so bad, something bad is going to happen, you're pessimistic, you give up. So giving up. So the Prophet, he used to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from worry about the future and grief about the past. And he would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from giving up, being incapable, and from laziness. And he would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from cowardice and miserliness. And he would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the being overcome by debt and from being overpowered by people.
وقد ورد في الآيات الكريمات في القرآن الكريم في التفاؤل الشيء الكثير، منها قوله تعالى فصبر جميل وبالله المستعان، فصبر جميل والله المستعان على ما تصفون. عندما فقد سيدنا يوسف، فقد يعقوب يوسف بعد مرور سنوات، اذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف. شو هذا الأمل بعد فقده، ويعني كأنه يعني هلك، ورميه في البئر، يقول سيدنا يعقوب اذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف. شو هذا التفاؤل منه عليه السلام؟
That there's in the Quran, there's many examples of having a good opinion in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the Quran, Sayyidina Yaqub, when after Sayyidina Yusuf went missing, they threw him into the well. His immediate response was, he said, "Fasabrun jamil," which means that I will have a beautiful patience. I'll be patient beautifully, meaning I won't complain, and I won't complain, and I will believe that something good, that there will be things will improve. And so many years later, after missing him and him being absent and gone for years and years and years, he told his other sons, go and search for Yusuf. He said, what kind of an optimism is this? After having, and what amazing optimism he had. After having lost Sayyidina Yusuf for so many years, anybody else would give up hope. He kept his hope going. He still believed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realized his hope.
وقال تعالى فلما ترى الجمعان قال أصحاب موسى إنا لمدركون قال كلا إن معي ربي سيهدين.
And when Sayyidina Musa,
البحر من أمامهم والعدو من ورائهم، شو هذا؟ الثقة بالله والتوكل على الله والاعتماد على الله.
When Sayyidina Musa was with the children of Israel and the sea was before them and Fir'aun and his army was behind them, in the Quran it says that they said that verily we've been caught. And Sayyidina Musa said, never. My Lord is with me and he will guide us. And so what is this optimism? It's relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the direst of circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about good and improve things.
وَقَدْ قَدَّمْتُمْ فِي الْهِجْرَةِ وَفَقَكُمْ اللَّهُ وَرَعَاكُمْ قدمتم في الهجرة ما حصل مع سيدنا أبي بكر. قال قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تحزن، أما قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام ما ظنك، ما يا أبا بكر ما ظنك بإثنين الله ثالثهما، إضافة لما قلتم.
He said that we went through the thing of the hijra, the events of the hijra, and we saw that when they were in the cave, And says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he said, what do you think of two people who Allah is their third? In other words, things will improve.
وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام التفاؤل من الرحمن والتشاؤم من الشيطان.
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, optimism is from the All Merciful, and pessimism is from the Shaytan.
ومعلومكم قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام لقد بعث الله ملك الجبال فناداني ملك الجبال فسلم علي ثم قال يا محمد إن شئت أن أطبق عليهم الأخشبين وقال صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم بل أرجو هذا التفاؤل بل أرجو أن يخرج الله من أصلابهم من يعبد الله وحده ولا يشرك به شيئا.
So after, when the people of Ta'if, they stoned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him an angel who's in charge of the mountains. And he said, if you command me, I will cause these mountains to collapse upon them and they'll all die for having stoned you and driven you out and humiliated you. He said, no, I hope, I have hope, I hope. And this is his optimism. He said, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out from their loins, from their descendants, people who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not associate anyone with him.
روى الإمام البخاري رضي الله عنه في حديث صلح الحديبية قال لما جاء سهيل بن عمرو قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لقد سهل لكم من أمركم أو سهل لكم من أمركم يعني استبشر بهذا الاسم سهيل بن عمرو قال يعني سهل هذا الأمر إن شاء الله.
When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he went with his companions to do Umrah, and this was when the Mushrikun were still in charge of Mecca. They stopped him from coming, so they had negotiations, and they sent as their representative, somebody whose name was Suhail. And Suhail, it comes from the word Sahal, which means ease. So Suhail means somebody who is easy or very easy. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came, he said, his name was Suhail, he said that your affair has become easy. Something easy is going to happen. You're going to see ease. He was optimistic upon hearing the name of the person who was sent to negotiate.
وروى البخاري عن سعيد بن المسيب عن أبيه أن أباه جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما اسمك؟ قال حزن. قال أنت سهل. قال لا أغير اسما سمانيه أبي. قال سعيد بن المسيب فما زالت الحزونة فينا في فما زالت الحزونة فينا بعد.
said that لماذا قال فينا سيدي يعني بينها
يعني كأنها سر يعني سرت في وراثيا قال ما زالت هذه الحزونة فينا هذه الشدة وهذا يعني بقيت الشدة في أخلاقهم.
هذا من أبوه الذي قال هذا؟
أبوه جاء إلى رسول الله فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما اسمك؟ قال حزن. قال بل أنت سهل. قال لا أغير اسما سمانيه أبي. فما غير اسمه كما يعني أشار إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فيقول ابنه سيدنا سعيد بن المسيب ما زالت الحزونة في أخلاقنا. ما زالت الحزونة فينا أي في أخلاقنا يعني في وراثيا.
Sa'id ibn Musayyib is considered by many to be the best of the Tabi'in. He said that his father came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Hazan," which means difficulty. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he changed his name, and he said, no, you are ease, you're sahal. And his father said that I don't want to change a name that my father. And so his son, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, said that the difficulty has remained within us, has still remained within us, because my father didn't change his name. So there's some kind of an inheritance that happened.
وذكروا من فوائد التفاؤل فيه حسن الظن بالله تعالى من فوائده حسن الظن بالله تعالى.
One of the benefits of optimism is that it leads one to believe that good is going to come out of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to improve things.
ومن فوائده يجلب السعادة للنفس والقلب جلب السعادة للنفس والقلب.
And it another one of the benefits of optimism is that it brings happiness into the heart and soul. It makes one happy.
من فوائده تقوية العزائم وباعث على الاجتهاد في العمل.
Another one of its benefits is that it strengthens one's resolve and makes one resolute. One doesn't give up and helps one do difficult things.
ومن فوائده الاقتداء بالسنة المطهرة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. كان يتفاءل في أموره كلها عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Another one of its benefits is that one follows the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who is optimistic in all of his affairs.
ومن أضرار التشاؤم عكس التفاؤل من أضراره ينافي الإيمان ويناقض التوكل على الله تعالى.
Among the harms of pessimism is that it goes against the nature of belief of iman. Our belief requires us to have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it prevents one from relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trusting in Allah.
والتشاؤم فيه مخالفة لأمر النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الذي يأمرنا بالتفاؤل صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
And if one is pessimistic, one's going against the commands of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who commanded us to be optimistic.
ومن أعظم التفاؤل في كتاب الله قوله تعالى قل يا عبادي قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا.
Said that benefits of being optimistic is that one applies the verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my servants who have wronged themselves, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah forgives all sins.
إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Verily, He is the one who forgives and is compassionate.
مرةً كنت مع عند سيدنا رحمة الله عليه فكنت أذكر له أمراً دنيوياً يعني فقلت له سيدي إذا إن شاء الله يحصل هذا وإذا لم يحصل هذا أريد أن أكمل يعني إذا لم يحصل هذا سوف يحصل يعني ألجأ إلى شيء آخر فقال لي لا تقل إن لم يحصل قلت الأول ابقى عليه تفاءل بالخير تجده لا تقل إن لم يحصل فكنت بعدها يعني فترة من الزمن لا أعرف يأسا يعني لا في عمل ولا في حتى لو دخلت إلى متجر وقلت لصاحب المتجر عندك مثلا الحاجة الفلانية لأجل يعني أعمالنا وكذا يقول لا فأدخل بنفسي وأبحث ثم أجد ما طلبته حتى يتفاجأ صاحب العمل والله نسيت أن هذا موجود فكانت هذه يعني هذا التوجيه في ذهني وبالي مدة طويلة من الوقت لا تقل لا لا, لا يحصل اعتمد توكل على الله وامضي
said that he once heard from Sheikh Abdul Rahman. He was with Sheikh Abdul Rahman, and he was serving him, and so he gave him a directive, and so he was planning out, and Sheikh Abdul Rahman said to him that I'll do this, and if it doesn't work out, then I'll do this. And so Sheikh Abdul Rahman told him, don't say that. Don't say if it doesn't work out, then I'll do this. Just believe that what you want will happen. He said, be optimistic, and the thing that you're optimistic for, you'll find that it happens. And so he said that for a long period of time after that, he found himself not despairing, Sidi Abu Munir. And so he said that to the extent that he would go to a shop and he would go to buy something for his business, and he would ask the shopkeeper, do you have this? And this, can I have this? And he would say no. And so he would refuse to believe that he didn't have it. And he would believe that he had it. And he would go inside and search for the thing himself. And he would find what he set out to get. And the shopkeeper would say that, SubhanAllah, I forgot that I had that.
حتى بقي هذا يعني التوجيه مدة طويلة من الزمن يعني حتى أذكر مرة يحفظها سيدي أنس أكثر مني كان لنا أخ مريض في المستشفى إذا كان سيدي أنس موجود ربما هو يعني أحفظ مني في ذلك فأردنا الدخول إلى المستشفى وأغلق الباب من هنا ثم أغلق من هنا سيدي أنس يقول لي طيب خلاص مدام يعني أنه لا يوجد فرصة للدخول خلاص نكتفي لا أقول له لا نحاول مرة أخرى من باب آخر ثم من باب آخر ثم من باب يعني كان هذا شيء يعني أنا أفعله وأنا لست منتبها إلى أنني أحاول وأحاول 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 وما في من غير يأس إلى أن نظر إلينا أحد الأطباء أو الممرضين من شرفة المستشفى ونادانا ماذا تريدون؟ قلنا في عندنا مريض نريد قال تعالوا وأدخلنا بعد كل هذه المحاولات مدة يعني سيدي أنس يحفظ أكثر مني هذه الحادثة
سمعتها منه
سمعت الله يديه الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يسلبنا هذا لأنه والله يعني إذا سلبنا إياها متاعب في حياتنا كثيرة إذا سلبت هذا الأمل والتفاؤل والاعتماد والتوكل على الله يكون الحالة صعبة جدا أنا أقول في ذلك الوقت كانت هي أقوى من هذا الوقت عندنا لقرب عهدها بالموجه
Said that he said that during the time of Sheikh Abdul Rahman, the strait used to be strong in him. And so there's a story that happened that with Sidi Anas Silwood of Shukr Clothing, I heard it from him. He said that he remembers it better than I do, Abu Munir said. And they once went to visit somebody who was sick in a hospital. And they went, and the guard said, "Sorry, you can't go in. Visiting hours are closed." And so, Sidi Anas was ready to go back home, and Sidi Abu Munir said, "Let's try another door." And they went through another door, and the guard said, "Sorry, visiting hours are closed. You can't go in." And Sidi Anas was ready to go home, and Sidi Abu Munir said, "Let's go somewhere else. There's this other building. It's connected to this building. We'll go into that building, go through the corridor." And so they kept on trying until a doctor saw them and said, "What do you want?" He said, "We want to visit somebody who's sick." And he said, "Come, come, I'll let you visit him." And so they got what, and so it was, he said that when he was doing this, it wasn't that he was trying and let me try this, let me try that. It was that he had this belief and he was just going along with this belief, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realized his belief. He said that he made a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not remove this trait from us, from him, because if when it's gone, then there's life just becomes very difficult. And he says that he finds that it's weaker now than it was before, because of it was closer to the time of Sheikh Abdul Rahman. who was a means for him to acquire it.
كمان مرة تذكرت حادثة أخرى كمان كان سيدي مع سيدي أنس معي كنا معا في حلب وتأخرنا في يعني إلى قريب من يعني قبل منتصف الليل وكان عندي موعد مع سيدنا الشيخ شكري في صلاة الفجر كنت أريد أن يعني أخذه إلى المجلس صلاة على النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم فحسبنا الوقت كان وصولنا إلى دمشق يعني بده 4 ساعات ونصف ويكون قد أذن الفجر عند وصولنا ثم أنتقل من الكراجات إلى البيت فيفوت الموعد الذي بيني وبين سيدنا الشيخ شكري فبدأت أحاول مع صاحب المركبة أنه يعني بركي هناك يوجد مركبة أسرع أو فكانت كل المحاولات لا تبوء بالفشل ثم قلنا أمر لا بد من لا خلاص انتهى يعني كأننا أجبرنا على ذلك فركبنا في هذه المركبة الباص الكبير وطلبت من المعاون السائق أنه لماذا تقفون استراحة في حمص هذه أنا أحتاجها هذه الـ20 دقيقة أو أكثر أو أحتاجها قال نريد أن نأخذ بعض الزبائن قلت أدفع لكم قيمة هذا الركاب أدفعها لكم بس لا تقف يعني ابقى قال لا يمكن يا حبيبي قال أبدا لا يمكن قلت طيب ممكن تسرع قليلا قال عندنا تعليمات مثل الصندوق الأسود الذي في الطائرة يعني يجب أن يستغرق الوقت 4 ساعات ونصف لو كان استغرق أقل نحاسب على ذلك فقلت يعني لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وأنا يعني طول المسافة هذه 400 كيلو وزيادة يمكن وأنا مترقب للأمر ثم وجدنا أنفسنا في دمشق قبل الفجر بنصف ساعة وصلت إلى البيت وتوضأت ولم يؤذن الفجر وهو قال لا يمكن هذا أبدا كيف حصل لا نعرف
he said there was another event also when Sidi Anas was with him and they were in a different city in Syria they were in Aleppo and the hour became late they went late into the night and he had to he had an appointment with Sheikh Shukri in the morning Thursday morning to take him for the Fajr prayer to a majlis where all of the scholars used to gather in Damascus to send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam they calculated the time and they calculated that it's late and by the time we get there the adhan will have been gone and then we will because they went by bus and so they and then we arrive by bus and then we search for a taxi and it's going to take us this long and I'm going to miss my appointment and so that there's no way that we're going to make it so Sidi Munir he searched for a quicker way to get there there was no quicker way they say he sat in the bus The bus stopped for 20 minutes in, there was a stop on the way in the city of Homs. And so he said to the bus driver, you're going to stop there for 20 minutes? Don't stop. I need these 20 minutes. And the bus driver said, I have to because the passengers. So he said, I'll pay for the fare of all of the passengers. Just keep going. I need to get there at, and then he said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have to stop. Then he said, okay, can you speed up a little bit? And the man said, I can't because if it takes less than 4 hours, then I'll get in trouble. They watch me. My times of departure and arrival are tracked. And so Sidi Munir couldn't do anything. He sat down. But this whole time, he still made sure that he had hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he expected in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would realize his hope. And he says he doesn't know how, but they arrived in Damascus half an hour before the Fajr prayer, and he made it in time. Sidi Anas, he's told the story, I've heard it from him as well. He said he fell asleep during the way, he just woke up and they were there early, and they got out and then they searched for a taxi, and he put Sidi Anas in the taxi first and sent him home, took care of him, and then he himself took a taxi and made it to Sheikh Shukri's house, and he was there in time.
ومما وقع لسيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن رحمة الله عليه كان مع ابنه في سيارة صغيرة بيجو 104 هذه حجمها صغير جدا وكان فيها 9 أشخاص بين كبير وصغير وهو بين دمشق وحمص مروا على منطقة اسمها القسطل بين دمشق وحمص فتذكر عندما رأى القسطل اسم القسطل مكتوب تذكر سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن بيت من الشعر لعنترة وقلنا أنهم يحبون بالوراثة يحبون عنترة آل الشاغوري فتذكر بيت لعنترة والقسطل اسم من أسماء السيف فتذكر بيت لعنترة يقول فيه في شطر منه أموت تحت ظل القسطل أموت تحت ظل القسطل يعني تحت السيف فقال الشيخ هذا البيت ثم تذكر أنه يجب أن يكون هناك تفاؤل حسن فقال قلب هذا البيت هذا الشطر قلبه إلى أن أكون شهيدا أن أكون حيا تحت ظل القسطلي أو كذا يعني قلب الموت إلى حياة لم يتمم هذا البيت هذا الشطر لم يتممه إلا وقد قلبت السيارة عدة قلبات وجاءت دورية مرورية من الشرطة وأنقذوا لم يصب أحد بأذى فقال يجب على الإنسان أن يتفاءل تفاؤل حسن فعندما ذكرت هذا بيت عنترة والموت قلبته مباشرة إلى التفاؤل الحسن الله سبحانه وتعالى سلمه
Sheikh Abdul Rahman used to tell the story of how once when he was traveling from one city to another in Syria, he and there were 9 family members in a small car, a very small car, and it was dangerous, and the car was shaking and leaning over as though it was going to collapse. At that point, it passed by a place. The name of the place is Qastal, which means sword. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman, he used to love the poetry of an ancient Arabian poet called Antara. And he has a line of poetry. The name Qastal reminded him of a line of poetry in which the author said that he will die a glorious death under the shade of swords. So this thought comes, and in other words, he's going to reminds him of the danger that he's in. And that he might, that things, something bad will happen. So he changed the line of poetry in his mind. He was a poet. And the meaning became that I will live under the shade of swords. At that moment, the moment that he changed the line of poetry, the car turned over. And it turned over several times. And the passengers fell out. But there was not a single scratch on any one of them. And the police came and they were surprised when they looked at the car, completely destroyed and nobody's hurt at all. And it happened, and the Sheikh used to mention afterwards, it happened because when he had a bad thought, he redirected himself to having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being optimistic. And that brought about, through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about a good state of affairs.
وقول الخلاصة أن التفاؤل من الرحمن والتشاؤم من الشيطان ليحزن الذين آمنوا.
He said that the summary of everything is that optimism comes from the All-Merciful. So if we find ourselves a thought of optimism, it is a thought that comes from the All-Merciful. He says pessimism comes from the shaitan. It's a satanic thought that he places in our minds so that we feel sad. يوجد سؤال سيدي يقول السائل السلام عليكم there's a question السلام عليكم when it comes to thinking that good will happen would you say it's waswas when someone can't stop thinking about their sins getting in the way along with getting in the way of the along with the fact that they should fear Allah as well يقول السائل إذا هو التفاؤل هو أن نتوقع الأفضل فهل إذا يعني إذا كان يعني إذا كان الشخص يفكر يكثر التفكير في ذنوبه وهذا يعوقه عن التفاؤل فهل هذا من باب الوسواس أو هو من الخوف المطلوب؟
لا والله هو أقرب للوسواس لأنه لأمور هو من الشيطان ليحزن الذين آمنوا ومن الشيطان ليفسد العلاقة بين العبد وربه
نعم So the question is that when one is thinking about sins and that and it prevents one from being optimistic, is that pessimism or is it fearing Allah Subhanahu wa Taala which is sought? He said that it's waswasa. It's from the shaitan, and because it is getting in the way of one's relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And it's making one sad.
لقوله تعالى قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله لأن هذا يسبب اليأس والقنوط والحق يقول قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم
He said it's closer to being from waswasa because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it comprises despair. It sounds like that one is despairing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Oh, my servants who have wronged yourself, i.e. people who have committed sins, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. So the remembering one's sins should never cause us to despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. He is extremely forgiving, extremely merciful.
وعندما كان السري السقطي رضي الله عنه يذاكر إخوانه في أمر من أمور الدين وهي في أمر التوبة قال لهم ماذا تقولون في التوبة أحدهم يقول أن يبكي على خطيئته ويتذكر يعني معصيته ويندم وكذا 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 ثم كان الجنيد صغيرا بين الكبار فقال له السري وهو خاله قال له ما تقول يا غلام أو ما تقول يا ولدي أو كذا قال كلهم قالوا أنه يبكي على خطيئته ويندم ويتذكر ذنبه فقال له الجنيد وهو صغير قال له التوبة أن تنسى ذنبك قال وكيف؟ قال لأنه ذكر الصفاء ذكر الجفاء في وقت الصفاء من الجفاء أنت تبت من هذا الذنب وأقبلت على الله سبحانه وتعالى فلماذا تذكر هذا الذي حصل؟ فذكرك الجفاء في وقت الصفاء من الجفاء فدعا له أن يكون هذا الفهم والعلم فيه فكان الجنيد من كان
And there's, it's related that Sariya Saqati, one of the great spiritual masters of the past, he was the uncle the maternal uncle, the brother of the mother of Junaid al-Baghdadi, considered to be the founder of the science of tasawwuf. So they were talking in Sariya. Junaid was still a young child at this time. So they were talking, the adults were talking, they were talking about repentance. What does it mean to repent? And everybody was saying it means that you remember your sin, you weep over your sin, you remember and you ask Allah to forgive you. Sari, he turned to Junaid and he said, what do you say? And he said, it's that you forget your sin. Not that you keep remembering your sin, but it's that you forget your sin. And they said, how is that possible? What does it mean that, how can repentance involve forgetting your sin? And he said that because when you are on good terms with somebody and you then mention in that context a bad time between you, then it's considered rude and it spoils the good relations between you. So if you're with somebody and you did something wrong, and then that person forgave you and you made up and you're talking and you're laughing and you're joking, for you to go to that person and say, remember the time when I did this thing that was wrong, that it is inappropriate. In the same way, when one commits a sin and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah promises us that when we repent that He'll forgive us, and then there is one has a pleasant relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to interrupt that pleasant relationship by bringing back mention of the past sin is rude and inappropriate.
مثال ذلك في الواقع لو أن أحدا نال من الملك وقال هذا الملك كذا وهذا الملك كذا وهذا الملك وأصبح يجلس في مجالسه مجالس مسامرته ومجالس رفاقه ثم يذكر مساوئ الملك وبعد فترة من الزمن اصطلح معه وقربه الملك وأصبح سميرا للملك ودخل القصر وأصبح يعني من أهل القصر ويجلس الجلسات الطيبة مع الملك فهل يقول للملك والله أنا كنت من قبل أقول كذا وكذا وكذا عنك ولا يحاول أن ينسى هذا كله
an example هذا of that.
ولله المثل الأعلى ولله المثل الأعلى أمر وقع واستغفرت منه وتبت إليه بتوفيق الله تعالى إذا أردت أن أذكر منة الله تعالى علي بأن نقلني من تلك الحالة إلى حالة القرب أما أن أذكر حالة البعد فأنت نقلك الله منها لماذا تعود إليها؟
He said the example of that is that there's a king, and somebody had wasn't close to the king, and when they used to say bad things about the king, and then the king and this person make up and they get to know each other, they get to like each other, and the king enters him into his private circle, spends long hours talking to him at night. And so he says, well, is it appropriate for this person to go to the king and say that I used to say such and such bad things about you? Or should the person forget about those bad things and just continue to love the king and have a good relationship with him? He says it's the latter. And it's the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
عندما جاء سيدنا أكرم ابن أبي جهل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والله شيء عجيب في هذه الحادثة أو في هذا المقطع من حادثة أكرمة قد أهدر دمه أهدر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دم أكرمة ثم جاءت زوجته وتشفعت له عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أمنته، فذهبت وأتت به. نقطتين: النقطة الأولى عندما دخل على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، رسول الله وثب لملاقاته 20 سنة من الحرب ومن محاربة الإسلام وقتل الصحابة وكذا وكذا، ثم عندما جاءه لم يقم قياما عاديا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وثب، نهض، يعني نهضا شديدا، واستقبله. هذه على الهامش، ليست هي المقصود، ليست هي الشاهد، ولكن الشاهد قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه سوف يأتي عكرمة فلا تذكر أباه، قوله للصحابة الكرام لا تذكر أباه، فهذا يسوءه. فذكر الجفاء بوقت الصفاء من الجفاء، هذا ما قاله الجنيد.
He said that another example to illustrate this is the son of Abu Jahl, Ikrima. After the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was a dangerous enemy who had fought him for 20 years, an avowed enemy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if he's found anywhere, he should be killed. His wife, the wife of Ikrima, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that, and asked for his forgiveness. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I give him protection, and so now he's now safe. So he came to greet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he entered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam jumped up to greet him with eagerness. So he said that this is something to reflect on. Somebody he has fought him for 20 years. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands, doesn't just stand up, but jumps up out of eagerness to greet him. Something to reflect on. But that's not the focus. The point that he wants to focus on is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the companions that Ikrimah is going to come. And when he comes, don't mention his father. Don't mention Abu Jahl. And why? Because mentioning Abu Jahl is bringing up mention of things that would spoil the relationship between them. And to mention something that is an unpleasant thing that spoils relationships, when relationships are being mended and there's love and there's goodwill, it's rude and it's bad to do.
لم يعاتبه ولم يؤنبه ولم يذكر ماضيه، وزيادة على كل ذلك قام فرحا واثبا إليه، يعني هذا فوق التصور، يعني أن لم لا يعاتبه يعني شيء جيد، لا يؤنبه شيء جيد، لا يذكر ماضيه شيء جيد، لكن أن يقوم وثبا إليه فرحا به وهو لم ينطق بالشهادة، فقط جاء علم منه أنه جاء يعني ليسلم. فشو هذا الخلق يعني والله شيء يعني فوق التصور. لو يعني يتعقل الإنسان هذا الموقف، يعني كيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرح بهذا الذي 20 سنة وهو يحارب الإسلام ويقتل الصحابة، وهو ابن من يقوم إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرحا مستقبلا.
He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't scold, he didn't find fault, he didn't scold him, he didn't criticize him, he didn't mention his past, and on top of all of that, he stood up with eagerness to greet him. He said that if we reflect on this, for him to not say about him, you shouldn't have done that in the past. That's one thing. For him to not scold him for doing the bad things he did in the past, that's another thing. For him to not mention his past at all, and not even to mention his father, that's another thing. And for him, on top of all of that, to stand up and eagerly greet him, and he hasn't even become Muslim yet. He hasn't even said the Shahada yet. He said that this is something that is beyond comprehension, and it brings out the beautiful character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كيف نبقى على التفاؤل إذا كان الكل حولنا من حولنا يعني متشائم؟
ليس فقط من حولنا متشائم، حال الأمة كلها حال يعني حال ندعو إلى التشاؤم، لكن الله هو مالك الملك، وهو الذي يغير من حال إلى حال، فنثق بالله تعالى بأنه هو محول الأحوال إلى أحسن حال. فالقضية قضية ثقة بالله، القضية قضية توفيق، علينا باللجأ إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بأن يخلقنا ويخلق فينا هذا التفاؤل، لأنه لا نملكه إلا به سبحانه وتعالى.
So there's a question, how do we stay positive, optimistic, when everybody around us is negative, pessimistic? And so Munir said that it's not just people around us, but this is the state of the Muslim Ummah as a whole. We're all negativity, pessimism pervades us. He said that the one who creates optimism within us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one turns to him, and one asks him and begs him and pleads him to create this trait within us, and he's the one who creates it, and it's not brought about by the people who are around one.
كان سيدنا الشيخ مصطفى رحمة الله عليه يدعو دعاء أنا ما سمعته من غيره، يقول اللهم إنك سألتنا من أنفسنا ما لا نملكه إلا بك، فنسألك يا مولانا أن تعطينا من نفوسنا ما يرضيك عنا.
So that he would hear from Sheikh Mustafa a dua that he didn't hear from anyone else. He says that Sheikh Mustafa would make a dua. He said, "Oh Allah, you have asked us from ourselves to be in a way that only you can make us that way. It's only you who can make us that way. So we ask you to make us the way that leads to your being pleased with us." هل كيف نفهم الشيطان؟ هل هو شخص واحد يطوف على الأرض أو هو يعني ملايين الشياطين في كل مكان؟
طبعا هو ملايين، طبعا هو رأسهم إبليس، الرأس قائدهم، ولكن تحت يده أبالسة. وهذا ورد أنه يجتمع بهم في كل ليلة ويتفقد وظائفهم ويقول من منكم فعل شيئا يعني حتى أقربه مني مجلسا، فيقول أحدهم يقول أنا بقيت أخامر عقل فلان حتى مثلا شرب الخمر، فيقول له يعني هذا شيء جيد، لكن لست أنت أهلا لأن تكون بجانبي. ويقول هذا أنا جعلت فلان يعتدي على فلان، جيد، لكن هذا ليس أنت الأهلية أن تجلس معي. وهذا وهذا إلى أن يقول أحدهم أفسدت بين المرأة وزوجها، أو بين زوج وامرأته، أو بين اثنين. فيقول أنت جدير بأن تجلس، فتكون هذه الوظيفة إفساد ذات البين هي ما تقرب منه مجلسا. فنعم في أبالسة كثيرة، لكن قائدهم وزعيمهم هو إبليس.
How do we understand Shaitan? Is he one person roaming the earth, or is he millions of people everywhere? He said, there's, of course, he's millions of people everywhere, but their leader is one person, Iblis. And we narrated that every day he gathers, Iblis gathers with his minions, with his other shayateen, and he asks them, what did you do today? And he's searching for the worst thing that's been done, i.e. the best in his view, so that I can make you close to me. And so somebody says that I made somebody drink wine. He said, that's good, but it's not enough to make you close to me. And somebody else said something else, somebody else said something else, until somebody says that one of the shayateen, he says that I spoiled relations between husband and wife. And so he says, that's something that deserves you to be made close to me, and he makes him close to him. So this indicates that there are millions of shayateen, but their leader is one, the shaytan.
وَقَالُوا لِكُلِّ رُتْبَةٍ إِيمَانِيَّ شَيْطَانًا يُنَاسِبُ تِلْكَ الرُّتْبَةِ فَشَيْطَانُ الْعَارِفُ عَارِفُ يعني ليس يأتي إلى العارف الشيطان، ليس يأتي إلى العارف أي شيطان، بل يأتي إلى العارف شيطان يعني من الدرجة التي المتقدمة التي هو على شاكلة العارف، فليس يأتي شيطان جندي عادي من الشياطين إلى العارف ليزيغه أو إلى المؤمن ليزيغه. هناك مؤمن مثلا لا تغره الدنيا، فيأتي شيطان من هذا القبيل. فإذا تقدم في مقامات الإيمان ترتفع الرتبة، فيأتيه شيطان من درجة أعلى، وهكذا.
He says that they say that the shaitan of every person is different, corresponds to the corresponds to the rank of that person. So if somebody has knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the shaitan who is sent to him is an expert shaitan who is able to do things to him, make him think things. He's more skilled. So this also indicates that the shayateen are many, they're not just one.
قيل أن أحد العارفين رأى شيطانا يعني في صورته، لكنه كان متمثلا بصورة حبال يبيع الحبال، وعلى كتفه حبال غليظة ورفيعة. فقال له: أراك اليوم يا أبا مرة، أراك تعمل حبالا، كشفه يعني. قال: نعم. قال: لكن عندي سؤال. قال: ما سؤالك؟ قال: أرى أنك تحمل حبالا غليظة وحبالا رفيعة، لماذا هذا؟ قال: هذا من أجل أن أسحب كل شخص على قدر إيمانه. فالإيمان، من كان إيمانه قوي يحتاج إلى حبل قوي وغليظ، ومن كان إيمانه ضعيف يحتاج إلى يعني حبل ضعيف. قال: طيب أين حبلي الذي تسحبني به وتحاول أن تسحبني به؟ قال: أنت لا تحتاج إلى حبل. أقول لك معنى هذا أنه الأمر خطير، وليس لنا اعتصام إلا بالله سبحانه وتعالى منه.
So he says that one of the awliya, one of the people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he saw the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed shaitan to him in his form, and he saw him as somebody who carried ropes. So he had thick ropes and he had thin ropes, and he had ropes of all kinds. So he asked him, why do you have all of these kinds of ropes? And he said, it's because, you know, if there's somebody who is at a high level, then I use a thick rope. I need to use a really strong rope to trap him. So these are use ropes to make a trap. But if it's somebody whose iman is weak, then I just use a weak rope. I don't need to use a strong rope. And so the man said, where's my rope? And he said, you don't need a rope. I just need to say to you, come, and you come. And so he says, the point here is that the matter is dangerous, and one shouldn't feel safe from the shaitan.
ورد أن الإمام عبد القادر رضي الله عنه جاءه الشيطان بصورة نور، وقال يا في خلوته، وقال يا عبد القادر أسقطنا عنك التكاليف. ف تحير سيدنا عبد القادر، ثم أجابه، قال، هو جاءه بنور على أنه من نور الله يعني، فقال له: خسئت يا إبليس يا أبا مرة. قال: وكيف عرفتني؟ قال: لأن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو رسول الله، لم يسقط الحق عنه التكاليف، فمن أنا حتى تسقط عني التكاليف؟ هذا واحد. أما الثاني فإن صوت الحق يأتي من كل الجهات، وصوتك جاء من جهة واحدة، فعلمت أنك الشيطان. قال: والله يا عبد القادر، 70,000 وصلوا إلى رتبتك ثم أخذتهم من هذا الباب.
تمثل أوله تمثل ب كيف
بنور
بنور نعم
بنور
نعم. So
حتى يوهمه أنه هذا نور رباني، نور إلهي، فأراده أن يخرجه من التكاليف، يسقط عنه التكاليف، فألهمه الله الحجة.
He said that Sayyidina Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, he had a vision or a dream in which he saw light, and a voice came out of the light and it said that, O Abdul Qadir, we have absolved you of all responsibility. You no longer need to pray, you no longer need to fast. And Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, he immediately said to that, he said, may you be destroyed, O Shaytan. And the shaitan said, how did you recognize me? He said, first, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the rank that he reached, but the responsibilities were not removed from him. He still had to pray, he still had to fast. Second, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us, the sound would come. It's actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his speech does not have, it's not a sound. But he says that it comes from all directions, meaning it doesn't have a direction and it's not a sound. But yours came from one direction. So the meaning of this is that, and so Shaitan said that that I have, there's 70,000 worshippers who I have led astray in this way, and you were safe. So the point being that he came to him at his rank and tried to get him, and it's a trick that's been worked, and someone should never feel safe. آخر سؤال سيدي. يقول السائلة شكرا لهذه الدروس. يعني أتأثر لأنني أشعر بأن الدين يعني ليس معقدا وهو شيء إيجابي ونفرح به. سؤالي كيف نترك عادة يعني عادة غير عادة يعني يطلب إزالتها إذا كنت قد حاولت مرة بعد المرة أحاول ثم أفشل ثم أحاول ثم أفشل وهذا الآن يؤديني يأخذ بي إلى اليأس. لماذا الدعاء والنية لا يعني بالنسبة لي يعني لا يأتي يعني عندي نية عندي دعاء لكن لا يأتي لا أنجح دائما أفشل.
مقامها مقام المجاهدة، هي مجاهدة في سبيل الله، هي تعلم أن هذا الذي يعني تشكو منه تريد أن تتخلص منه، ثم تفعل ذلك وتفشل وتفعل ذلك وتفشل. هذا الإتيان للخلاص منه والفشل هو الجهاد في سبيل الله، فهي تجاهد نفسها تجاهد نفسها تجاهد نفسها. ولا بد، من سار على الطريق وصل. لو طال الوقت، قيل أن أحد شيوخ الأزهر رسب في يعني في دراسته فشلة ثم فشل ثم فشل، فجاء إليه اليأس وقال: أنت فشلت، خلص اترك هذا الأمر. فكان جالسا يفكر في هذا الموضوع وأمامه جدار، فوجد نملة تمشي على هذا الجدار، تخرج في هذا الجدار نصف متر ثم تقع، ثم تخرج متر ثم تقع ثم تقع ثم تقع. بقي يتأمل في هذه النملة وهي تحاول وتحاول وتحاول ثم تفشل وتقع، ثم في النهاية تجاوزت هذا الجدار، فعاد إلى دراسته وذهب اليأس. فكانت هذه من أحد شيوخه النملة. وقيل فيما أذكر، وقيل أنه أصبح شيخ الأزهر.
Since the question, thank you for these sessions. The things that strikes me every time is how simple and positive you make the religion to follow. How to let go of a bad habit that you cannot let go of again and again. One tries but fails, and the process is now making one despair. Why is dua and intention not working? Siddhi Bhumini said that your station is the station of somebody who is doing jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're trying and you're failing, and you're trying and you're failing, and you're trying and you're failing. So the process of trying itself is jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that one of the scholars of Al-Azhar, it's related that he sat his exams, and he failed his exams. And he studied some more, and he sat his exams, and he failed them again. And he studied some more, he sat his exams, and he failed them again. And then he gave up. He said that he despaired, and he gave up, and he said that I'm not suited for this. And he sat down, And then he was looking and he saw an ant. And the ant, it was trying to climb a wall. So it would go up a little bit and then it would fall back down again. And then it would go up a little more and then it would fall back down again. And then it would go up a little more and it would fall back down again. And it kept on trying again and again and again and again until eventually it climbed over the wall and came down on the other side. When he saw that, he said, he made him reflect. And he saw the ant, and the ant is trying and trying and trying, and at the end he succeeds. So he said that he went back, and the despair left him because of the ant. And so he went back, and he went back to studying and trying, and he passed his exams. And it said, Sir Muni thinks that he became the chief of Azhar, the leader of Azhar. So he says that when if your maqam is the maqam of somebody who is struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anybody who keeps on struggling will always reach. It's unavoidable. It always happens that they reach, but it takes time. It could take time.
ثم ان الدعاء نوع من العباده بل هو مخ العباده. فهذا الدعاء مجرد أن يدعو الإنسان لزوال هذا المكروه أو هذا المحظور فهو في عبادة دائمة. وقال ابن عطاء رحمه الله ورضي الله عنه لا يكون تأخر أمد العطاء مع الإلحاح في الدعاء موجبا ليأسك فإنه ضمن لك الإجابة لكن فيما يختاره لك لا فيما تختاره لنفسك وفي الوقت الذي يريد لا في الوقت الذي تريد.
He said that you have to remember that making dua itself is an act of worship. In fact, there's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the essence of dua is worship. So when you are making dua again and again, you're not failing. You're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sidi Ibn Ata'illah, he said that don't let not the delay in your prayer being answered lead you to despair. Because the answer is guaranteed. You will get your answer. Your dua will be answered. But it will be answered in the time that he decides, not in the time that you decide.
ثم تستعين ب ب بمن ترى عنده صدق لقوله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين فالصحبة الصادقة والصاحب التقي الصادق تستعين به على الخروج من هذا الذي تشكو منه. يعني لا يبقى هذا عندها وهي تحاول من غير مساعدة أحد تثق به. فتثق بأحد ربما يخرجها منه بكلمة. ربما يخرجها منه بتوجيه فتتخلص منه.
He said that you should also seek the help of somebody who has sincerity, somebody who has who's sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask them, and it may be that a word that they say strikes the heart and helps one come out of the situation that one is in. So don't give up, but you find somebody who a person of sidq to whose help to seek.
نسأل الله تعالى التوفيق يكرمنا بهذا الخلق العظيم، وكلنا حقيقة كلنا بحاجة له. هذا التفاؤل نسأل الله. اللهم إنك سألتنا من أنفسنا ما لا نملكه إلا بك، فنسألك يا مولانا أن تعطينا من أنفسنا ما يرضيك عنا.
So let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to realize us with this trait. And he made the dua of Sheikh Mustafa that, oh Allah, you've asked us to give something which only you can give to us. So we ask you to give us that which pleases you from us. Alhamdulillah.
Ya ibadi, kullukum dhalun illa man hadaytuh. هذا الحديث يطمئننا بأننا نبقى نطرق هذا الباب، نبقى على هذا الباب بفضل الله، بعون الله، بكرم الله، نبقى نطرق بابه بتوفيق منه. عسى أن ينالنا فتح يجبر به خاطرنا وخاطر إخواننا وخاطر أمتنا على وجه يرضيه ويرضي حبيبه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my servants, all of you are astray except those who I've guided. So seek my guidance and I will guide you. All of you are naked except those who I've clothed. So seek clothing from me, I will clothe you. All of you are hungry except those I have fed. So seek food from me and I will feed you. Said that this hadith, it keeps us knocking on the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keeps our hope alive, keeps us going, and we remain at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking him and never despairing and always keeping our hopes in him.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
صلي وسلم ربي وأنعم على المعلم.